The Women's Football Podcast, shining a light on the women's game.
Okay, so welcome to this special edition of the Women's Football Podcast, where we are going to preview the upcoming NWSL playoff games that take place this weekend. I'm delighted to be joined by some experts from the United States. I am joined by Sarah Gerke of thesoccerdesk.com. I am joined by Dan Laletta from Equalizer Soccer, and I've got JJ Duke from Our Game magazine. So rather than me giving my views, I'm going to tee the guys up, ask them for their views, how they feel the games are going to go this weekend. I will start with Dan from Equalizer. Dan, obviously we know that the games are going to be between the Seattle Reign and the Washington Spirit and FC Kansas City and Portland Thorns. Obviously we saw this past weekend Portland overcome the Reign to squeeze past Chicago Red Stars, pipping them to the post. Give us your views on that game and also how you feel this weekend's games are going to go.
Well, I thought the Portland-Seattle game was a pretty good advertisement for NWSL. It was well played. Seattle came with almost their top lineup, and Portland came with obviously their best, as they needed to win that match, and they were able to pull it off. Nadine Ongerer returned to what she was doing in April and early May. She really kind of scuffled through the heart of the season, but she played very well, and I thought that kept them in the game early. And then the great goal by Morgan for 1-0, and now they'll play Kansas City. That's a rematch of last season. And if you remember, Kansas City had the 2-0 lead, and then what really did them in all through 2013 was they couldn't protect leads, and Portland got the 2 goals to tie it up, and then they were by far the better team in extra time, and Allie Long still won it. And I think Kansas City honestly has similar issues to work through this season. Since they won the 7 in a row, they have not been as impressive. I think pressuring them higher is the way to kind of deal with the way they knock the ball around the midfield, and I feel like teams have done that some more since they were among the best teams in the league, probably right in behind Seattle, which is where they finished throughout the summer. And I believe that if Portland can pressure them in the midfield and prevent them from freely knocking the ball around, that they can come out victorious in that one. The other game, I think everything works against the Spirit. I think the fact that they have to play at 11 p.m. Eastern time on the road, they haven't played very well. Seattle, I think, is far and away the best team in the NWSL, and I think pretty much everything the Spirit do, Seattle can counter. So I look for that one to be kind of one-sided, and I think Kansas City and Portland really depends on which team show up for both sides.
JJ, what do you think Kansas will have learned from the game last year against Portland? And looking at the other game, what do Washington have to do to try and overcome this Seattle team who've been so dominant at home?
Well, you know, to be fair, also you can't forget the fact that FC Kansas City this year are also as equal, if not as good, at home. The one thing that they learned last year was to play the full 90 minutes. Of course, you can't expect the fact when you take an early 2-0 lead at home, you almost kind of have that thought of you're halfway there. I mean, they were 2-0, what, about half hour in, looked to be on the way home, and then Portland comes back, gets a goal right before halftime, and then a late goal. And then, of course, the winner in extra time. The one big thing is just playing that full 90 minutes. Of course, you have the front runner, Amy Rodriguez, who's just been phenomenal in her return to professional soccer. And then, of course, the midfield duo of Lauren Holiday and Erica Timrak. So you know, you have to be able to play that game, work through your strengths, of course, contain the outsides with the likes of Kat Lee going wide if she's available and ready to go for that. Of course, it could be an interesting match if they're on the same side. Cassie Coleman for FC Casey going up there. And then I guess for the newbies of the group in the playoffs, well, technically both with Seattle and Washington, it's going to be something new for them. However, the Seattle team has just, you know, by and large, been the premier team of the National Women's Soccer League, so they're going to be home in front of their home crowd. Washington, of course, great story for them from near the bottom and now into the playoffs. Of course, a lot of it's going to rely up front with Jody Taylor, of course. She's been great, but then at the same time playing overseas, international duty this week, so that's going to be a big question mark there. But, you know, just the main thing about playing this match is you have to play hard for 90 minutes, and then getting forward, that'll get you into the final.
Sarah, are we in any way surprised by the teams that have made the playoffs? JJ mentioned there the fact that Seattle and Washington are both debutants in the NWSL to playoff football. Well, obviously, they both had difficult seasons last year. Kansas and Portland, as much as last year, are their second appearance in the playoffs. But lots of changes in those clubs at the start of the season. Pretty much all of them, when you look at where they were last season. Are we surprised in the lineup in any way?
I would say I'm not surprised by Seattle, Portland, and Kansas City. Seattle, on paper, you just knew that they were going to do something special, and they have. And then Portland and Kansas City made the tweaks necessary to stay at the top. Being based in D.C., I have to say I'm pretty surprised to see the spirit in the playoffs, you know, based off how they ended last year, based off the solid moves they made in the offseason, but, you know, maybe nothing jaw-dropping the way that you saw in Seattle. So I felt like they were going to do better this year, but I didn't think they were going to make the playoffs, but they really, you know, had some last-minute wins and really pushed through and win some points and show that, you know, they do have the grit to win games you wouldn't think that they should win. They took the series 3-0 against the Red Stars. They won the series against FC Kansas City. You wouldn't expect that, and they did. So while I agree with both Dan and JJ about it being fairly likely that Seattle is going to, you know, win on Sunday, at the same time, there are plenty of other games that I maybe didn't see the Spirit winning that they did. So I think that, you know, it's going to be a good game, even if Seattle is the heavy favorite to win.
Dan, we were talking before we came on recording about our lack of enthusiasm for the United States friendly against Switzerland. How much of a bearing do you think that, along with some of the other internationals that are taking place, will have on the games this weekend?
Well, it depends on whether or not Jill Ellis leans towards playing more players, more minutes from the teams who are not in the playoffs, which is something that I would like to see. I don't really understand why U.S. soccer takes on the bulk of the financing for a professional league and then pretty much does everything possible to sabotage the games by not having top-level players there for different games during the season and now for important games toward the end of the season. I think Taylor, and as we were talking about off-air, Jess Fishlock, they'll be coming in from overseas. That should be a bigger deal than the U.S. players, as long as everybody comes back healthy, and we'll see about that. It's not unusual for players, you know, to play weekend, weekday, weekend, especially in NWSL. So I don't think it'll be a big deal. I think these are teams that are obviously the four best, so there's not too much concern about them not having ample time to train together during the week. You just want everybody to come back healthy. And like we were talking off the air, Fishlock is likely to play the 90 minutes for Wales. Jody Taylor may or may not get any time for England. Which player does that benefit? Are you more tired going over there and playing a match, or are you more tired going over there and sitting on the bench for 90 minutes and then maybe thinking to yourself, why did I make that trip overseas and now I've got to come back and play the biggest game of the year in the playoffs after I could have been with my team all week, but instead I spent a couple of days back home in Europe?
How disruptive do you think that is to the coaches, JJ? Obviously, they're working with their teams and with their squads, trying to prepare, as Dan said, for the biggest games of the season, and they're missing a number of their key players.
Well, I mean, you have to really look at the picture with both hands. First off, of course, as Dan mentioned, you're going to have those players that are going to be flying hundreds, if not thousands of miles to play friendlies or European competition. So that brings in one factor. But then at the same time, you do have to take a step back and look at these guys are professional players. They know how to manage. It might not be the first time, or it could be the first time, that they've flown overseas, but they know how to be able to get themselves ready to go for a playoff match. and you know, then just kind of balance it. Now with the coaches, they're just going to have to work and a little extra maybe on the side. You know, I'm not a coach, so I can't exactly say you know, what they're going to be doing or how each coach takes it differently. Of course, you have to look at Seattle, where a good majority of that starting 11 are international players and could be featuring for the national teams this week. So with that being said, it depends on how their coach is going to manage it. But you know, at the end of the day, it's going to be 90 minutes this weekend. Some will be playing a little bit more beforehand, but they know probably coming into this week, since it is the playoffs, they've been together for the better part of 5-6 months. They know what they need to do to get the job done.
Sarah, what's the overriding feeling in the United States about these playoff games? Do fans of the teams that have been eliminated care about the fact that these games are taking place when their teams have been eliminated, or do they recognize that this is vitally important for the promotion of women's soccer in the US and take a big interest in it?
I think that's one thing that's really great about women's soccer supporters in the US is they're used to following several teams and leagues. So I don't think that there are many people who only pay attention to the NWSL or only pay attention to the US women's team. So I think that there's still a good percentage who do care about these playoff games, and they care maybe because a player who used to play on their team their previous season is playing on one of these other teams now, or you know, they've gotten to know the players from those other teams from going to U.S. National team games, or when they're visiting their home stadium. So I think the accessibility of players in the NWSL really matters, because fans, you know, have an attachment and grow to really respect and follow players that maybe aren't on their hometown team. And so I think that there's that generates a lot of interest even once their team has been knocked out of the playoffs. So I think that it's going to be great to have, you know, Julie Foudy calling both semifinal games, having that on ESPN2. Hopefully that reaches a very broad audience and quite a few people tune in, as well as attended person.
Okay. Well, I'm conscious of time because you've all three of you have been absolute stars and joined me at very short notice. So I'm going to ask one final question. It's going to be the same question to the three of you, and I'm actually going to reverse the order. So I'm going to go ladies first on this one. I want to know who you think is going to progress from the two semi-finals, and I want you to pick a standout player for each individual team that people should not necessarily look out for, because I think people will know about the stars, but who are the players that you think are really going to be key to their teams? So Sarah, you first.
In the first semifinal, I think Kansas City is going to take advantage of their considerable rest period prior to the game and win. I think Lauren Holiday, as she's been key all year, is going to be key in that performance. I think that Alex Morgan is going to be key for the Portland Thorns. She had several missed opportunities in the Seattle game that maybe could have given them a more comfortable win. So if she can convert a few more opportunities, you know, maybe she will make the difference for the Thorns. I think on Sunday, the Seattle Reign, as everyone said, are most likely going to triumph over the Washington Spirit. And I think that the return of Jess Fishlock is what is going to make the difference. I think you saw in the loss this weekend for the Reign, Kim Little wasn't able to do the things that Kim Little does because she had to sit back a little bit more, and she didn't have someone else working with her in the midfield the way that Jess Fishlock does. So I think she's going to be crucial for the Reign in ultimately winning on Sunday.
So you're predicting a Seattle-Kansas final. Thanks, Sarah. JJ, over to you.
I'm going to have to go along with the same lines as Sarah in the fact of the two teams that are going to be meeting the final. My thoughts on that is FC Kansas City, they're going to learn from their mistakes from last year. And this exact same match, however, a lot of different players, a lot of different aspects to think of it. Of course, I haven't looked at the weather yet because I remember last year it was unbearable heat over in Kansas. But with that being said, I think Kansas City will pull out a victory. Of course, have to keep an eye on Amy Rodriguez. She's bound to at least get a couple of half opportunities, and she's a player that only needs a half step and could bury opportunities. On the other side, I think Washington's going to give it a great go, and maybe not a lot of the casual viewers will give them a chance. in that game. I think they might even force extra time, just seeing how Seattle's played over the past couple of weeks. If you look at their tendencies, they've been a bit slower starters against other top four, and you call top five teams, and then against teams at the bottom, past couple of weeks have taken care of business. I might even expect Washington to score a goal in that game, force extra time, but with the hole that Fishlock was not in last week, it showed a little weakness that we have not seen in Seattle this year. She comes back, she plays her usual standout game, and that's where we're going to see a final.
And last, but by no means least, Dan, over to you. Your views, please.
Well, I'll be the contrarian and say that I think Portland will again find their way past Kansas City. I have a hard time getting past that it looks like Kansas City peaked maybe in the middle to early part of July. And Portland tends to play a little bit more frenetic, and that can work against Kansas City. I do think that if FC Kansas City can control the midfield and get their possession game going, that they can make it a long day for Portland. But it hasn't been something they've done over the last couple of weeks. And maybe they get it together with the 2 weeks off. We saw how well Sky Blue played after they had their 2 weeks off. They've come back and either they haven't lost or maybe one draw in there since then, or one loss. For Kansas City, I think Jenna Richmond is an important player. She's the rookie. She didn't start the season in the first 11, but she came in and took the place that Desiree Scott had last season. She's been very good. I think she'll have to be very good again, because she will be one who can be the player that stops the Thorns attack as it comes forward and also links things from the back line up to some of the attacking players. For Portland, we're recording this on Monday, and we're not sure yet about Nikki Marshall or whoever will fill in for Nikki Marshall, who started every game so far for the Thorns. So I think that's the area where the Thorns are going to either excel. You know, remember, their back line seemed to be better early in the season when they had younger players. It seemed to have taken a cumulative step back when Von Hollebeck and Catley got back in there. In the other game, I just don't see Washington being able to play with Seattle. I agree with the other two that Jess Fishlock will be a big deal, but I also think Ellie Reed has been the best defender in NWSL this season. She locks down the right flank. She gets forward very, very well, and I think she'll be difficult to deal with. And for the Spirit, if they're going to contend, I think Christine Nairn has to have a big game, and Crystal Dunn has been the player that has kind of moved all over the field. Can Mark Parsons put her in the position where she can most impact the game? Because in order to win, the Spirit will have to do everything pretty much perfectly. And then I'll just throw in there that I think Spirit fans are really hoping against JJ's thought that it might go to extra time, since that'll be going on after 1 a.m. local time in Washington, D.C.
Well, the game kicks off 4 o'clock in the morning in the UK, so it's going to be either a late one for us over here or an early one, depending on how people want to approach it. But I'm not going to throw my views in. I will certainly do that at some point over the course of the week, because I think my views are in no way valid when I've got three experts from the United States talking on this show. So I'm going to take those on board. I agree with some of you. I don't necessarily agree with other bits, but I'm conscious of time, as I've already said. So I'd like to thank you all for coming on the show. I hope that listeners have found it insightful. So Dan, thank you very much for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
JJ, thanks very much.
It's been a pleasure.
And thanks a lot, Sarah.
Always a pleasure.
And I will speak to all of the listeners very soon.
The Women's Football Podcast, shining a light on the women's game.